Hi guys, it has been so freaking long. It is so good to be back. It's been like 2 weeks. I was on break for one of the weeks. Oh my gosh, no, it's been three. Yes, I was on break for one of the weeks, and then last week I was ill, so this would be the third week. Yeah, I'm like, the days are blending. I'm just, the one thing that I have on my mind time-wise is the day I leave school. I'm so ready. like next month, that's it. I'm so ready to stop. I've had a great school year, sure, don't get me wrong. You guys know I've talked about my prosperous and plentiful first semester as a college student, and the second one has been just as plentiful, if not even more, but I am so tired. Every single day, I'm so tired. Like, I was celebrating the fact that I had gotten 7 hours of sleep the night before. I was like, I haven't done that in a very long time. Like on a day where I had to be up and functioning and do something at school. I'm just gonna say I haven't had seven hours of sleep at this university in a very long time. I have been on go, and I'm probably going to do the same thing because I'm not gonna get any sleep tonight. And I don't know, I get used to it. You know, it's something that you get used to. It's a habit you fall into, but I really needed that week of break. I really needed last week because I was ill. You know, there's a lot going around. And on top of that, you can count on me to be sick about 3 to 4 months out of the year for sure, because I have allergies, and that's just as bad as illness. Every day I wake up, it's a routine. We got to take the Benadryl, and we have to put our eye drops in, and then we have to keep that up every day for the rest of the next season. Like, all of spring, all of summer, count on me to, you know, react to pollen. And it's so funny, this summer I'm going to be working in fields of pollen. I'm going to be working in ecology, trying to figure out what pollinators can do for solar energy. So that'll be really fun. I wonder how much Benadryl I will be consuming, how many eye drops I'll be applying, like how much I'm going to be sneezing. But this is the dream, people. I was always thinking, like, I thought about that for a long time. I was like, wow, this is my dream. And, like, it involves lots of illness, like, lots of it. But it's okay. It is okay, because small price to pay, right, for living out our dreams. So there is so much to talk about. It's only been a couple of weeks, but music, new music Friday. I've been talking about music like all week. It's officially been a week since we've had Eternal Sunshine. I'm gonna go back real quick. The first, Eric finally gave us that album. and let me tell you how the wait wasn't even that good, because I told you guys, I've had it since January, but he dropped it publicly. And it's like, okay, great, congratulations. But when he dropped the album, I was waiting for it to be available in Dolby Atmos on Apple Music. Apple Music has been screwing me over, but I'll get to that soon. I'm trying to dissect everything as closely as possible, because I love listening to music on Apple, because they have like better high quality versions of songs, but not in this case. The Dolby Atmos version of Writer's Block, it took Ty Dolla $ign off of it. Like, Eric and his people, like, it was released on Spotify without him, and then it was initially released on Apple with Ty, but when they put it in Dolby Atmos, he was gone. I think they just took him off of the song altogether. But like, I'm like, girl, where did he go? Like, that was my favorite song on the album. Like, I was like, I had my favorites. Like, every song is my favorite song when it comes to Eric, but like, that was like up there. It was right there with Sage with Neo, and Writer's Block with Ty were my favorites. I don't like Writer's Block without Ty. It's just Eric sang his verse, and it's not as good. Nobody has that twang. You know, when Ty is on a song, it's very distinctive. Ty's like, he's very collaborative, and he's on like all the good songs, all the big major songs of like the 2010s. He's on them, and you know he's on them because he has a certain cadence, and he's not on like, the disappointment. I was like, girl, you can keep it. You can keep it. I was so sad, but it's okay. it's okay, they took him off. But, like, all in all, you know, the album is very near and dear to my heart. I did get to see him perform, and I did talk about that and all, but, like, you know, not the same. Like, the song's not the same, and it makes me sad. So, we got Eternal Sunshine by Ariana Grande the following week, March 8th. I was ill. I was very sick. But I got my butt up, and I came into the office I work at, and I used the Mac for, like, the very loud speakers. That was, it was all the way up. And it was the best 35 minutes of my life, let me tell you. I had a great time. Like, that album, from first listen, I was like, oh, this is my favorite album by her, easy. Like, her and Sweetener, it just, they're up there. Like, Eternal Sunshine and Sweetener are my, like, they're like sister albums to me. I see them from, like, two totally different places of growth, but you feel the growth in both of them. You feel them in very distinctive moments of her life when she was going through a lot. Oh, Sweetener is just so special. Sweetener was her first album where it was in color and you could feel the light in the album. Like, you could feel the light. And Eternal Sunshine literally is like Eternal Sunshine. The sun is shining. The sun is shining and she's vibrant. There is no feeling greater than hearing that album for the first time. But let me tell you how Apple screwed me over again. I listened to it on Apple and it was still very high quality. The vocals were raw and it was very, it was good. It was a really good experience and it was loud. I had a great time. But on Apple, it had been in Dolby since it came out. You know, like, for the really important artists, you don't have to really wait for a project to be put in, like, it's going to be in Dolby when it drops. So we had been anticipating the album for a really long time. It was already, like, they had the mixes. It was ready. They sold me so incredibly short. I, you don't even understand. I think the only way for you to understand is for me to play you an example. Last episode, I was really abusing my copyright, and I can include music in my episode. So I'm going to play it for you guys. It was on, like, multiple songs, the quality, the vocals, some vocals are just not present, but Supernatural right now is my favorite track, and they sold me so short. Let's hear it. Let's listen. Let's have a gander. And by the way, if you guys haven't heard the song yet, you know, here you go. A real, real beautiful experience. Beautiful experience either way, but it's not the same with the missing vocals. It's just not. So I'm going to take it to the part. It's, guys, this like ending into the final chorus, it's an experience. So I'm going to play it for you guys on Apple first. Very boring. Very, very boring. You know, you're like kind of craving a climax with that buildup. You're like, ooh, like, okay. And then it gives you nothing. So I heard it for the first time later on Spotify because I use both. You know, I have to, like, have Spotify for podcasters, so I use both. And when I heard what she packed, the punch that she packed, guys, I was so disappointed. I'm gonna take it to the end. We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna listen to her with all her vocals. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me that's what I was missing? Bro, for days, I heard it without that. I was like, this is all the song got. So it wasn't my favorite. Like, I love the lyrics and I love that, like, the beat was killer. You feel like you're floating regardless. But that's super important. It was a very valuable element and component to the song. Scrapped cut. We don't listen to it over there. But that's, and like, I've been talking about this for a really long time. I just want you guys to know that Eternal Sunshine, number one debut, she's killing it. Ariana is killing it, and they thought that she wasn't going to be successful again. We're not going to get into the whole scandal because that's going to take up the rest of the episode. Y'all owe my girl an apology. But it's okay. I digress. We need to stay out of celebrities' personal business and then just appreciate the art, because things happen to everybody in their lives. But when things happen, when things like this happen to artists, we get art. We get art that charts. We get art that goes number one. So, you know, no complaints from me, a diehard. No complaints from me. But, you know, we need to really just start respecting people, like, a lot more. We really do. I don't think we're going to find peace as a people until we do that. But, you know, the weeks, last couple of weeks have been really good for music. Oh, Chloe dropped something. I'll throw her in there, too, because FYS is a really good song. I believe today, a couple things. We got a feature from SZA. Why every single time that Cardi and SZA collab, not on I Do. I Do was a really good song. You know, I Do, that was on Cardi's debut album, and it was, you know, really good. She was rapping. She was rapping that whole all of Invasion of Privacy. She was really going in. But anytime they're on features together, she flops. She tanks. Like, No Love with Cardi. Here I am, there you are. No, don't do that again. Don't do that. We told her not to do. We all told her, don't get on a song and sing like that again. Just because it's just like a little soft R&B element to the track. Like, No Love is an R&B track, but Flo Milli, I didn't even mention the song. It was Flo Milli. You know, he's speeding up, right, Flawless? Yeah, right? Like, it was on Never Wanna Lose Me, and we knew SZA was going to be on it, but we didn't know that Cardi was going to be on it. And she surprised us, and I had high expectations. Tanked. She got on there, that rap song, and she sang. Just because SZA there, you don't have to sing. You can rap. You do not have to sing. You can rap as the rapper you are. Don't sing. I don't know why she keeps trying to do that. But, you know, SZA came. SZA gave. SZA ate like SZA does. Cardi try again. Last year was her year for features. I'll give her that. She had on everything she was in last year. Tomorrow too, you know, Point Me too. She ate that down. She did a lot last year. She was really taking it. And then she, you know, her and Meg came back with another song. It still wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that awesome. But I love Megan. So, you know, she really did her thing. I think Cardi just need to, she's had a really great run. I think maybe she just needs to take a break. But, you know, moving on, that was really, you know, the music scene. I wanted to talk today about a lot that's been happening with me. It's pretty vulnerable. It's a lot of things that are just, I just want to tell you guys what's been helping me. Because, you know, I know that there are a lot of people going through a lot right now. I will actually use this time to give my reflection, because I think one thing that we can just all agree on is life can get really fast, but we don't need to be really fast with it. We can take our time. Like, we can learn how to take our time. I think that taking my time and patience has been a really, really, really important element of, like, why I've been surviving lately. That's like a really big focal point of what this episode is about. So I'm going to give you a couple life updates. I have had overall a pretty rocky year, because I told you, I believe, yes, after my birthday in the year, I don't know, there's this thing that happens where it's kind of just like a, it's time to grow up type of moment, especially because my birthday's at the top of the year, like, you know, January. It's like everybody's trying to change, everybody's trying to better themselves, and, you know, resolutions and all that. And if whether or not that's what I'm aiming for, like, that's my goal, because I'm always about growth and, like, moving forward, becoming a better person. But whether or not I'm, like, knee deep in it's fulfilling my resolutions at the time, immediately after my birthday, like, I'm talking, like, day after, even, like, the following week, something always happens. Something life-altering, something crazy, something deeply depressing, or I, like, fall into a depression. Like, something is always happening, and I hate it. It makes me really not want to anticipate my birthday, because once it's gone, welcome turmoil, like, welcome problems. So I really don't, you know, I dread the new year sometimes, but, you know, I try to focus on the positive, and I'm always really a glass half full girl. It's never half half empty. It's always half full. Like, it's always something, just something missing. Not everything's gone. Something missing, and we can replenish this. It's not like this is it for us. The rest of the glass is gone. We can still pour into ourselves. We can find a way to fill that glass back up. So a lot was happening, a lot was hitting me, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to take the optimistic route like I normally do, and I'm going to figure something out. I've had a lot of bad luck with therapy. Oh my God, I think I'm ready to tell my story. I've had a lot of bad, I mean really terrible, like stories that you like would not believe with therapy, and like they never really, the whole thing is just like I never really see them to fruition. I mean, not me. Something will happen and then I can't like finish it, and or like I literally lose contact with therapy. Like, it's so stupid. I've gotten on some really sketchy like platforms for therapy, and they were usually all virtual, but this is a trusted, this time around it's trusted. I'll get to that, but I do want to tell my story. I was trying to find a therapist as soon as I turned 18, like last year, first, like immediately after my birthday. I was like, yep, time to really take therapy seriously and try to like keep, so that it didn't work out, but try to stay in it, you know. I did, every single time I'm in it, I do learn something. It's not for a long time, but you know, I do learn something. So I was like, I'm going to try to, you know, find a place that I can really be consistent in it. So the first time around, like, it didn't work out. Second time around, I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot, blah, blah, blah. My insurance company recommended me a really shoddy therapy site. And I got in there, and you could pick your therapist, like, you know, based on your preferences. Like, really, like anywhere else, you can pick them based on preferences. I got matched with somebody, and I thought you were, like, stuck with your first match. I didn't know that it was, like, a Tinder situation, and you could, like scroll through a catalog until you found the right person. So they got me. They were like, look at your match. Like, this is your number one match. And they just meant, like, the first person we found for you, not, like, your top match. Like, this is the person for you. Because, first of all, he was a man. And I was like, I didn't say I wanted a man. I said I wanted a woman, preferably a black woman. Like, you know, I want somebody that can understand my struggles and knows my story to, like, the fullest extent possible. Like, if you could be a black queer woman, like, that's ideal. You know me. You know my struggles. You know what it's like to be, like, the number one target in the world. Girl, triple threat. Black, gay, and woman. What? Like, I am a walking target. Like nobody in the world. You know, you really need somebody in your corner when nobody in the world is is advocating for you. You know? So I was like, a white man? Like, yes, he, not only was he a man, baby, he was white. So I was like, my number one match. So I was just like, okay, if this is it, okay, like, let's give it a shot, girl. This is the silliest thing in the world. Like, I get in there, we're talking, and I'm talking about my sexuality. Mind you, he is white. So I'm like talking about myself, and he's straight too. So I was like, nothing aligned. It was literally the exact opposite. If I'm a black gay woman and he's a white straight male, what is he gonna fix for me? He went to school, but he doesn't know me. Like, he doesn't know my struggles. He will never be black. He will never be gay. He will never be, like, I'm like, this is not gonna help me at all. So what are we really doing here? But I'm explaining my sexuality to him, because at the time I had a lot of struggles pertaining sexuality. And he was just like, what do you identify as? I'm like, queer. And he was old too, really, really old. So like, queer to him as a straight white old man, guys, I'm telling you, it couldn't get worse. Like, I can't think of a worse pair. He doesn't understand the sexual, like, he doesn't know what LGBTQ, no, he didn't even get the first four. You know, we got like 20 things in there now. He didn't even get the first four. Like, it was really bad. So he's like, what do you identify as? I'm like, queer. He's like, oh, queer? So to him, queer just means, you know, different, weird. Like, you know, the standard, regular textbook definition of queer that you'd find in Oxford. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, queer to me? Like, to me, when I hear queer, I think of, like, that sounds like, calling yourself queer sounds like calling yourself, trigger warning, trigger warning, guys. Just let you know. He called me a nigger. He said, calling yourself queer sounds like calling yourself a nigger. I'm like, oh my, what? Like, huh? I was taken aback. I was appalled. I was like, I beg your finest pardon. What did you just say to me? And he was like, that's what it sounds, you know, it's like people would call, like, like people that they like weird people that they found weird, queer. I'm like, baby, that's not that. That's not, guys, I swear, I was about done right there. I was like, oh, if that was my last straw, if I was any weaker in life at that moment, because so much was going on, I was like, oh, that would have been it. I just got called a nigger by my therapist. I was like, no, this is not, this is no. Yeah, so I soon figured out, I resolved it. I did resolve that situation, but it was not easy, and it was so bad. It was so bad. I couldn't have gotten out of that meeting quicker. We were assigned a full 45 minutes, and it was only 20 when he said that to me. So we had a little more to go, and we just talked about nothing, a bunch of nothing, because I was not staying there. But I picked another one, and she really did help me out. Like, she was a Black woman that dealt with, you know, my issues, and she had experience. She wasn't queer herself, but she had experience with queer kids. So I was like, okay, good enough for me. Like, but I don't know, like, therapy had never stuck for, you know, reasons that don't really matter, but it had never stuck. And I was like, oh, I need to figure out something that's going to work. So I was like, okay, CAPS, you know, MSU, they have CAPS. Most universities, like really good public universities, have funded therapy access, which is great, which is phenomenal. It's amazing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give CAPS a try. Nothing else has really worked. I trust this. It is free. But the way it works, you know, it doesn't really work a certain way. Sometimes you might not get, you know, somebody that you can meet with consistently. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Having therapy and security, I really need some consistency. So, you know, we made that work. I got really lucky with that. And I got a really great therapist, a Black queer woman. And we made it work. But, you know, from my couple of, like, consultations that I've had thus far, and just the things that we've talked about, and the things that she's already made me realize about myself, I was like, okay, we have a lot of work to do, Jess. Like, we have a lot of work to do, because I think I realized a lot about myself. I was like, okay, I remedy. I don't like heal. I don't patch up. I don't like manage, because really healing is management, which is something that I had to realize. I was like, I don't really like learn how to manage. I try to like remedy temporarily. Cause she was talking to me about so many things that had happened to me in the past few years of my life. I was like, yeah, like these last 3 years have been really pivotal. Let me tell you why. And she was like, girl, like, what have you been doing? Like, what have you really been doing? And I was like, you know what? I don't know. Like, I told her, like, I was like, yeah, I'm feeling real lost when it comes to, like, you know, getting back on track. Because, like, I always feel like I hit a mental dip, and, like, all of the work that I've done, it's been, like, it's gone. Like, and she's like, no, like, you're acting, and I've known this for a while. I preach this. You know, you really don't practice the things you preach a lot, but I would always say healing is not linear. You know, you can't, like, just get through it. You gotta, like, you, it's an up and down thing. Some days you're high, some days you're low. That's why I say healing is management, because you never really get over something. You just move around it. You grow around it. It doesn't grow around you. You grow around it. It doesn't get smaller. It doesn't get bigger. It doesn't change in size or impact. You just grow around it. So it becomes a thing you manage to deal with. A really good analogy that I actually learned from the Ariana Grande herself, she was talking about how she sees, like, her problems and how she views them as, like, little monsters that she learns to live with. I really love that. Like, I really love that analogy. She sees them as little monsters that she has to deal with. So, in my mind, I picture little monsters in a basement, right? It's dark. It's a basement. Everything's scary in the dark. And when you're in the basement, you find a flashlight, and you learn to shine light on your problems, because you can't fight them away. You can't scare them away. These monsters, they're not going to leave. First, for whatever reason, you can't kick them out of your basement. So you have to learn to live with them. So each day the relationship is different. Like most relationships, you're like, okay, guys, how can we peacefully coexist today? Like, how can we exist together? You know, what can we do? So after I heard that, and I like realized that I hadn't been managing well, you know, my therapist, she was like, girl, you're like, you're fighting with yourself. You're not working with yourself. You're like bullying yourself into like trying to speed up healing. So whenever you do that, you're doing more harm than good. And then I realized I hadn't done much growth in the last 3 years. And that will send you into, I don't know what it might do to other people, but it put me in a hole. I was like, oh girl, like what? Like you can't tell somebody who thought that they were so like, you know, I never thought that I was like better than anyone. I was like, you know, like everybody has their journey. And I just really thought I was in a great place at mine. I was like, yeah, I'm awesome. I'm on top of the world. And I was not. I was overcompensating for like the lesser things that were happening. I was trying to like amplify all the little good moments, but I was never really doing any real healing. I was just acting like things were changing and they weren't. I don't know what delusional, like I felt like I was living in complete delusion for the last few years. Up until that moment, I was like, oh my God, like my life is a lie. But I decided to calm down. You know, I took a step back and I was like, okay, we had our moment. We're freaking out. I'm frantic. None of the things I even said just made sense. So I was like, let's reassess. Cause that's how I was talking to myself. I was like, oh my God, I haven't done any real healing. Like, oh my God, overcompensation. Like I'm throwing all these big words at myself, like shock value. I was shook. I was scared. I was like, no, cause we can't stay stagnant. Like we have to keep going, but we also can't view healing as like a checklist. You're not checking these items off of a box and you're stepping away from it. You're always going to have to deal with this. You're always going to have to heal and you're always going to have to like learn how to manage your issues. So I was like, okay, what can I do? I realized one of my biggest problems was my anger issues. This always shocks a lot of people. I am diagnosed with anger issues, anger management issues, and I've had them for like a while. It's just old trauma, you know, like pent up trauma. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. People are always like, what? Like, you're so nice and you're so sweet. You're always happy. Like, you're like one of the happiest people I've ever met. You're angry. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes. But it's not like a, you know, a getting up and throwing plates at the wall. Like, I don't really lash out. Whenever I get really embarrassed or something happens to me that I'm not happy with or I'm not comfortable with, I'm ready. Like, I'm fuming. I'm foaming at the mouth. Like I'm actually ready to hurt everyone. And I'm like, oh, Jess, like, this is a really dark, ugly part of us that we have to hide. So that is also an area that I wasn't healing in. And, like, you know, trauma just builds. So, like, I was making my anger management issues worse. I was like, oh, geez, like, I'm not headed down a good track. So I decided to take matters into my own hands. And my therapist was like, yeah, girl, until the next time we meet, you know, you should figure out ways. Just think about this for me. She gave me a little prompt. And she was like, you know, just let me know. Track your days. Think about them as like day by day efforts and not like one big chunk of time where it took you X amount of time to heal from a thing that you're checking off. Just take things day by day, assess what you feel like your biggest problems are, what came up the most for you in our conversation, and let me know how you feel. And I'm like, okay, y'all, the days have been so much better and brighter since I've reframed my perspective around my like issues. Everybody has them, and a change in perspective is the whole thing. It will change everything for you. So I want to tell you guys what has helped me most heal in most areas of my life. Okay, so about a year ago, I realized that was also a time where I had a little epiphany, and I was like, it's time to start doing things differently. You know, I really need to like feel like I've been stagnant for a while. Time for me to, you know, like, assess current problems, figure out, you know, what's going on right now and how we can fix it. If there's any traction in some really big areas, we're gonna fix it. Again, trying to micromanage and make it seem like, you know, once this is over, this is over. Once I've deemed it over, it's over. But that's not it at all. But I did get some really good advice and learn some really good things at the time that I can now utilize today. So there was a thing about it was going around TikTok for a while. Like, there's like so many sides of TikTok, you know, and they're, girl, they're trying to ban it. I don't know what I would do without TikTok. I use TikTok very beneficially. I don't know. They got bigger problems. They acting like it's not a whole genocide happening currently. Like, the government's not funding genocide, and they're worried about TikTok. But, you know, I won't get into that. But I did learn from TikTok because I learned a lot of really important things over there about the power of non-reactivity. And I went down a rabbit hole. I was like, oh, this is such a, like, it was a thing. I didn't even know it was a thing because I'm so impulsive and I usually tend to just react on how I feel, like, in that moment. You know, when a big feeling hits you, it's not something you want to deal with. If you feel things as much as I do, as heavily as I do, because I wouldn't even consider myself, like, an empath. I'm just, like, uber emotional, like, uber, so much more emotional than I feel like I need to be, but it's really, like, it's a gift and it's a curse. So when you feel things as, like, heavily as somebody like me does, you don't want to feel that any longer. If it's a bad feeling, you do not want to stay stuck in it. You're, like, an impulsivity, lack of patience with, like, big feelings that... Tell me it's gonna get better. I'm not listening to you. Like, in the moment, I'm really ready to just get the bad gone. Because, like, the good is great. You know, it can be overstimulating if you feel too many good things for too long at, like, too high of a rate. But, you know, good is good all the same. I want the dopamine. I want the serotonin. I want the endorphins. I want all of them. But when it comes to bad feelings, I'm like, get this out of here immediately. Take it away. I'm not trying to think about it. Not trying to feel it. So, my first instinct with most things is to just act. It's to just act, you know, immediately, like pronto. Get this feeling out of here. I don't want to feel it anymore. And that has been so, it has affected so many things in my life. So many things. But it's important to be self-aware because I nipped that in the bud. I was like, okay. And it, like, the last few weeks I've been implementing this in my life. Guys, you don't understand how beneficial it has been. I realized non-reactivity is simply just sitting with you. It sounds like a much bigger thing than it is, but it's really just not reacting immediately. Sitting with your feelings and assessing them. And being somebody who is, like, journaled radically and, like, always been really in tune with myself, I've been doing things that could, like, prepare me for this moment to make the shift and transition easier, but I had never really been doing it. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've been ruining my life low-key by just reacting to things immediately and not taking any time to realize the power in non-reactivity and what it's like to be patient, to not be impulsive, to just continue to practice good things self-care wise and take time to know your emotions. I thought I knew them, but I really didn't. I would see them when they came up, but if it was bad, I was not, I wouldn't, like, act like it wasn't there. I wouldn't suppress it, but I would try to get it gone. And that's just not how things work. So I was like, okay, what can I do, like, with anger management? How can I not be such a mad person? I never really projected these big mad feelings, but, like, I lived with them and I didn't like it, and it was a part of me that I wanted to hide, and you can't do that. I told myself, like, I'm not gonna keep going down this rabbit hole. So I was like, let's try something. So I've always been really big on yoga and, like, yin and yang, the calm and patient, and then the steady fast motion, you know, just the high and the low, you know. I've always been really big on it, and I was way more yin and not enough yang. Like, I was not taking time to just be, to breathe sometimes. So that really will help you assess better. I was like, okay, I think that right now I need to meditate. I'm gonna employ daily meditation. It was just an idea. After I got everything down, I'm like, it is just an idea. I'm just gonna give it a shot. So sitting with all those really big, scary issues at face value, I was like, okay, how can we remedy? How can we solve this long term and not try to, you know, take it away? How can we fix it? So I, like, did research, because who am I if I'm not researching something radically, trying to figure out, you know, the benefits. There's not much bad. I'm going to, like, link the main research thing that I looked at. It was just a clinical study done at the Mayo Clinic primarily. Like, that's the one I looked at the most, because I needed to find something legit. So I'll link it below. But it was clinical research that suggested that meditation can, like, change the way that you view stress. And I was like, oh, perfect. Like, I need to change my perspective on things. So I practiced that, and I've been doing it every single day since. And guys, the insane benefits that meditation has brought me. I know that things work differently for everyone, but like, I think that meditation can really be beneficial to everybody because, I mean, it's a real universal thing. Like, people, like, just, they don't realize how much taking time out to breathe can really help you. And it's been a practice that's been around for thousands of years. You know, it will stick. Like, you will really, I've never heard anybody who's had a bad experience with meditation. Usually the negative connotation around it is like, oh, my mind is not clear. Like, I can't focus, or I can't, like, you know, I'm struggling to keep my mind quiet. But that's not what it's about. Like, the noise is what we're working with. We're working with the internal noise. What's coming up? What's coming up right now? What's happening? What are you thinking about? What is the noise? You know, and then day by day it gets easier. I was like this has changed my entire mindset, because I was reflecting, and I was like, day by day, I've become a much better person, like much better person because of it. And it added this center to my head. Being someone who has diagnosed anger issues, like, knowing that I'm not as level-headed as the next individual, I was like, okay, there's something that I'm missing. Like, you know, a chemical imbalance, if you will. So it's meditating has added this center in my head that gives me an extra layer of consideration. I'm like, okay, if I do this right now, and it's just become second nature. Like, it's every day it gets stronger. I'm more calm and more patient. I'm quicker on my toes to think about how this is gonna affect other people. Because when you're reactive, you don't think about other people. You're thinking about yourself, and you're thinking about what this really bad negative feeling is gonna do to you. And I'm like, okay, what is gonna happen if I do this? And then X, Y, and Z are the long term effects, and then, you know, A, B, and C are the short term effects. And that sounds like a lot to think about, like, with every thought, but when it's really second nature, it's not a lot. You just have an added layer of consideration and discern that you didn't have before. And now I'm saying this, I don't know who feels the same way that I do, but other people might think like that, but I don't. I'm a specific type of person, and I'm an only child as well. I have siblings, but I never had to grow up with them. So, like, when I was growing up, I was by myself and spoiled. You know, like, kids are spoiled. Only children, it's just you. It's nobody else that anybody in the house has to pay attention to, not the adults. So you're raised differently, and you're just, that, you know, things are different for you. Like, not, you know, it's not always like a, oh, you have to remember to, they don't teach you how to, you know, look after others and consider everybody's feeling in a situation. And that might sound like really bad. It's like, oh, you should know this. You grow up like thinking like this. But especially when there's like things like that are off about you, and you have like actual, you know, mental issues, mental health problems that you're battling, you focus on how not to feel bad. And that's me. Like, that is me. All these yous, these are things that I've gone through. And I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but I really think that if you are battling a lot of bad, negative, like, things just on you, all these omens that you don't need to carry, you should really practice daily meditation. And I mean, every single day, you are going to feel much better with the things you carry. Your problems are going to seem a lot smaller, and how you fix them are going to seem a lot more tangible. I mean, I really do recommend it, because it has been what has helped me the most. And I do think you guys should read the study. It's really, you know, it's a really, there's so many out there on meditation. Like, meditation is like I'm saying, thousands of years long. It's been studied, and all signs really point to, yes, I said that there were negative connotations around it, but the percentages are low. I think the highest one I saw was like 8. Like, I think that meditation is like a really, like, a real universal great thing for all. Another form of healing that I've dealt with and in unlearning was like dysfunctional unconscious beliefs. And when you do meditate, you find these new parts of your mental, and a lot of the unconscious comes forward, and you can like think about things deeper, like a meta type of situation, you know, the thinking about the thinking you're doing. So I realized I had a lot of dysfunctional unconscious beliefs about myself, all the things that I thought I couldn't do or were incapable of doing, and the things that felt intangible for me was just because of the way that I was thinking about myself. Like, it's a really big thing when you are your biggest critique, you know, that's everybody. So once I, this has been about a year long practice, I've been trying to figure out how not to think, how to stop negative self-talk and unconsciously thinking negatively. And, you know, like I said, the thinking about thinking, once you reframe how you think about yourself and how you view life, everything else follows. So it was always a really big thing. The idea of healing as a whole, really big thing. But I think the main takeaway that I want everybody to have from this is, one, you can heal. It's just about how you manage the problems that you have, because they're not going to go away. You just have to figure out how to manage them. I highly recommend meditation. And when you do that, you change your perspective and you change the way you think about things. I've learned a lot through therapy. So also, I'm pro therapy. I really recommend it. If you're considering it, just do it. If resources allow, and you know, I know a lot of the people that listen to me are in university, so I know there are a lot of resources out there. If resources allow, if finances allow, do it. There is no downside to it. The worst thing that can happen is, like I said, you know, I have a really bad story. I don't think that if you are, you know, black, that your therapist is going to call you nigger. I'm an anomaly. But like, the worst thing that could happen is you get your problems off your chest, and you know, you just have to tell it a couple times to a couple people to, you know, till it sticks, you find the right person. Cause sometimes that does happen. It's like throwing something at a wall, seeing if it sticks. You know, you do have to find somebody that's really going to cater to you and your needs specifically. But like, you know, the worst thing is that could happen is you get your problems off your chest a couple times, like, you know. And I think talking about them more does help, because it also comes out to you. It makes you think, oh, you might be your own therapist in the process of finding it. Like, oh, I didn't even realize about this, like, this thing out about myself until I said it out loud. So I'm definitely pro therapy as well. I think that this is going to be a very great journey. I'll keep you guys updated. I'll keep you guys posted, you know, on like what meditation does for me long term. But I am already reaping the benefits. You know, you reap what you sow, and all good practices, if you give it a shot, all good practices are beneficial. It's about the effort you put into it. You know, it's about how much you want to heal, how much you want to heal for yourself, because in turn, the benefits are endless. You know, your life is in your hands, and the future that you want is as small as, like, you know, taking out 5 to 10 minutes of your day, if only that, to just consider how you feel, to consider how you think, to change your perspective on a thing. It's as simple as that. And just know that you always have somebody. As long as you guys know me, you can always talk to me. I am always here. I think that's a great note to end it on. I've been getting a lot of support recently about everything, and also on the podcast. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. And as long as any of you know me, as long as I am breathing, you will have somebody you can talk to. And I mean it, any one of you that are here supporting me and listening to me talk about really, you know, just my story, my life. If you do need to talk to somebody and you do need an outlet, I will be that outlet for any of you. I promise I am here. You guys have listened to me, so I just want to return the favor. Thank you guys so much. This episode was really important, and it's been nice to feel like I can talk on like a bigger spectrum to multiple people at a time about problems that I have, because I feel like we really like to gatekeep these things. It's like everybody's going through something. You never know who you're gonna help. So it's really important to me that, you know, I just tell it. You say it, you don't know who it might touch. So you're always here for me, I'm always here for you, and you know where to find me. I will be back next Friday. Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye.